Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where dentistry happily collides with great business. And today I'm super excited because I'm having a conversation with someone who I regard as one of the industry young guns, someone who I think is going to blaze a trail for the younger generation. And I'm, of course, talking to none other than Omid Azami, all the way from Melbourne. But some of you will know Omid because he is a familiar face, a familiar name in the profession. He runs the Newbie Dentist Podcast as well as the Newbie Dentist Study Club. He's from Canada originally, did his training in Australia, went back to Canada and then came back to Australia, which is great for us here in Australia. Sorry for the Canadians. Sucks to be you, but it's good for us Aussies. So welcome to the program, Omid. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang with us today, mate.
Jesse, thank you so much for having me on. I must say I'm a bit nervous being on this side of the interview for once and having to answer some questions. I just want to apologize to your listeners as well. I feel like the caliber of guests that you normally have on is much, much higher than me. So I hope I can keep them entertained for at least a little while so they stick with it.
I think you're selling yourself a bit short there, my friend, because I've listened to lots of episodes of your show and it's a quality program. And I've got no doubt you've got plenty of things we're going to dig into, which I can't wait, actually. But it's funny because when I was on your show, I was nervous too, because when you're on the receiving end of the microphone or the guest end of the microphone, it's a different experience, right?
Absolutely. It's exciting. I think it was nice to connect with you and the podcasting world has been very kind to me so far. I've managed to interview a lot of people who I've looked up to and this is definitely no exception. So I'm excited to kind of get into it.
Well, the feeling is mutual, my friend. The feeling is mutual. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your background because you have gone back and forth between Canada and Australia a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, is there a backstory there? What was it that led to you coming to Australia to study, going back, and then obviously resettling in Australia?
For sure. It's a bit of a long story. A lot of Canadians are coming down to Australia, specifically for dentistry over the last maybe 4 or 5 years. I mean, actually, the numbers are like increasing year by year. I'm pretty sure when I was in my final year at Melbourne Uni, the first year cohort coming in had about 30 Canadians, which is like almost a third of their class.
Wow.
And the reason so many Canadians are coming is, for one, they've created like a reciprocal agreement between Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland, I believe. Mm-hmm. So the graduates of each country can kind of freely work as long as they get their license and exams and all that done. So from the other end of it, in Canada, it's like crazy competitive to get into like medicine and dentistry. So that's the main reason why a lot of young Canadians finishing up undergrad kind of apply broadly to the US and Canada and Europe and Australia. And for me, yeah, I just made that choice. My girlfriend at the time, who's my wife now, and I were kind of trying to get into the same school. So Melbourne Uni worked out. So we decided to make the big jump across and started down here. And it's been I loved Melbourne. It was a great 4 years, a great school, great program. I made a lot of great friends. And what happened was we were hoping that when we kind of graduated, my wife would get into Canada for residency to finish off her med training. And that's why we kind of moved back to Canada after graduating. So I was working there and she was kind of doing some exams and applying. But unfortunately, it didn't work out for her for that cycle. And then she ended up getting a spot down in Melbourne. So she moved back. And then a few months later, I kind of had to wrap up all my associateship positions and make the move across. So that was the lesson for, I think, the young dentist is maybe not to get married. So yeah, so you have a little bit of more freedom where you end up in your profession. But I can't complain. It's good to be back in Melbourne. It's home now for us. We've been here for 4 or 5 years, including med school and dental school and all that. So just trying to lay some roots now and kind of get going.
Well, as I said in the introduction, Canada's loss is Australia's gain. And we're very glad you are here, actually. It's fantastic. And I think the lesson, as you say, about having that freedom up front and early, I guess on one hand, that's totally reasonable. But on the other hand, you meet who you meet when you meet them, don't you?
You can't. It's hard. When you find a good one, you got to lock it down again.
Totally. Absolutely. The opportunity might not come by again. Now, I did want to ask you about the Newbie Dentist podcast and the study club that came out of that. And for someone who's relatively young in their career, what was it that prompted you to start a study club?
For sure. So I'll take it back to the podcast first, if you don't mind. My problem was when I moved back to Canada, obviously, all my dental network was in Australia because I went to dental school here.
Sure.
So when I got back, I found it a bit hard to go to work and come home and need someone to like vent to or get some advice from or some mentorship. And I didn't really have anyone locally that I can kind of connect with at the time. So I started through Instagram. I started the Newbie Dentist like Instagram account. And then from there, I thought the podcasting would be great because I myself was like a massive podcast nerd, like in dental school, like your podcast, Howard Ferrin, Mark Costas. There's so many podcasts that I learned a lot of valuable information from. So I thought it'd be cool to kind of be involved in that club and
yeah.
and get to ask my own questions the way I would sort of hope to get some answers. So when I moved down to Melbourne, I kind of connected with Dr. Varun Garg, who's a prosthodontist in Melbourne, and Bharat Agarwal, who's up in Queensland, who's just killing it. And I kind of want to see if we can make a little bit of a study club to do like small group, sort of like boutique style CPD, if you mind, just to teach the way we wanted to teach things and have people be like in a relaxed environment where they can learn and ask questions and have like the ongoing mentorship and support after the course.
Yeah, I think, again, that's really important. And what I really appreciate around that, and I didn't mean to cut you off there, I do apologize. I had a gap, a pause in the internet there. The thing that I really identified with, you know, I was obviously reflecting on the conversation we'd had on your show and then obviously in preparation for today, what really struck me was the entrepreneurial nature of that. And entrepreneurialism at its root cause or at its essence is really about identifying a shortfall or a problem and then solving it. And you say that, you know, when you're in Canada, there wasn't much of a network for you. And what you've been able to do now is build a network for others, which I think is really incredibly entrepreneurial and really great. So please tell me, what was the next step once you got together with the guys? What was the next step in putting that together?
I must admit, we were kind of learning on the fly a little bit. We knew what we wanted to start off with, just like an initial course, just to see if there's any interest actually, and if we can get some people to come out. So we ran our first event last year, which was just a quick sort of a lecture on aesthetic dentistry, which seems to be a popular topic with the young dentists. So we, you know, hired a facility. Luckily, when I was in dental school, I was sort of like our dental society's sponsorship officer. So luckily I had some connections with some local dental businesses that sponsored these events. So I reached out to them and we managed to get some funding for that as well. But I think we're learning. And that's why your podcast and some of the other entrepreneurial sort of podcasts are a really valuable resource for us who like don't have the background in it to try and figure things out a little bit. The marketing side of things was interesting, getting onto Facebook advertising and things like that, which you always hear about in different podcasts, but to actually apply it and see the analytics and how it works and tracking it. It was cool. It was a nice learning curve there for sure.
Yeah, it is fun when you get into all that sort of Facebook advertising or AdWords or whatever it is. It's a bit of like a rabbit hole. You can kind of go down that rabbit hole and go deeper and deeper deeper. But it's interesting and it's fascinating. And there's a lot of psychology at play, of course, as you create those ads. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the challenges you think young dentists of today face. You know, I graduated a long time ago now, 1994. And for the younger listener, some of them weren't actually born at that time, which is really sobering for me. But when I graduated, it was a different time. There was an undersupply of dentists. We know that that's changed now. And also, clinically, things have evolved a lot in that period as well. But I'm curious to understand from your perspective, what do you think the things that challenge young dentists really are? What are the hurdles they need to get over?
Well, that's a great question. I think there's a lot of things. One is obviously the saturation issues. Just in general, the industry is more competitive, I think. And I think that's where I myself probably in my first few months I got in a bit of trouble. When your books aren't busy and a patient walks in with something and you know, you're like, oh, I need to do this because I haven't done anything for a day. So I think keeping money aside for maybe the first few years is a big advice I can give to the young dentist. You know, and I always compare it to like the medical residents, for example, like they're coming out and in their first few years, it's more about the learning process and not necessarily about how much money we're going to be making, how much production we're going to have day to day. So putting that daily production or monthly or yearly production pressures aside for the first few years, I think is important to stay safe and not push your boundaries too much just for that, to reach those targets.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way I was going for my first 3 or 4 months. And a few times some narrow misses, maybe some endos that you shouldn't start or some difficult extractions that can get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Where you have that naive invincibility of being a new grad and you think you can kind of do everything. So that's my main advice is to kind of try and stay safe, especially nowadays with so many lawsuits and things like that going around. You want to be safe and sound with what you're doing. That's one. Two, I think with corporate dentistry, there's a lot of pros and cons. In Canada and actually in Australia, I work for worked in and currently work in a corporate sort of environment. Obviously, for long term, it might not be the best for your professional development or any like business endeavors you want to have, but I think they supply to patience. So if you want to just get your hands wet and keep busy, and if, again, money's not your main target initially, I think that's a good way of getting more experience. The caveat with that is obviously not to rush through treatments and not to build bad habits, because I think with these corporate practices, a lot of the time they have targets and things that they want you to meet, or they've kind of packed your books and you've got half an hour for like a checkup and an exam and things like that. So try and stick to your principles and try and do good dentistry as best as you can and kind of put money aside. I think that's my biggest advice, because if you tie your success to your like monetary production, I think it's a dark place to be for the first little bit anyways.
Yeah, again, I really identify with that. In fact, my first job when I was a dentist was in the Navy, and it was not a corporate environment, obviously, but it was an environment where patients were served up to you. You had the opportunity to do good work, and you know, you got your regular paycheck, which was fine. It wasn't an amazing amount of money by any stretch of the imagination. It's quite modest. However, you did, as you say, work to do good dentistry and hone those clinical skills. And interestingly enough, I think you spoke about some of the work or decisions you might have made to take on work that might have been a bit of a stretch at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think I almost wonder if that's a rite of passage, to be honest with you, because you kind of have to find your limits by testing your limits a little bit. And yeah. I remember really clearly being on a Navy ship in the middle of the ocean. This is the days when we went to sea with no x-rays. Yeah. And I got bullied into taking out a tooth as a lower six. I got bullied into taking out a tooth by the patient when I really should have just extirpated the pulp and dressed it. But I remember trying to take the tooth out and hearing the dreaded crack as the crown came off.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of nowhere, and I've looked down and there's these bleeding pulp horns, and it was basically flush with the alveolar crest or gingival area. Yeah. And I must have had beads of sweat coming off me, because my dental assistant, who thankfully was very experienced, looked at me and said, "Cow horns, boss, the lower forceps,
yeah,
that lower molar forceps." And thankfully, we were able to get it out. But I remember thinking, okay, that was a near miss. That was close. Yeah. So interesting. I do think that everyone's got their learning curve to go through, and we've obviously both had those. But I think one of the things I'd love to ask you as well is, being a recent graduate, 2016, I think, is the year that you graduated from Melbourne.
That's right.
And what I'd love to know from your perspective, now that you've been out of uni a couple of years, what are the things that you wish you'd learnt at uni that weren't taught at the school? What are the things you kind of go, that would have been really handy to have in the curriculum?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't want to throw anyone under a bus here.
And recognizing the fact that the unis have finite amount of time and resources. We get that.
For sure.
So not a criticism, but just interesting to know.
For sure. Clinically, I think I'm actually, the Australian schools are really good. And even the feedback that I got when I got back to Canada from the corporate chain that I worked for, they hired a lot of like different graduates. And they said, compared to like the Canadian grads, like Aussie grads were pretty good clinically. The thing that I think in Australia, we kind of struggle a little bit is because of the public system and because of the patients that come to the dental schools don't pay for treatment. I think there's a bit of a gap there in terms of like case presentation and treatment planning with money in mind and having that discussion with the patients. I think that's a bit area that where a lot of people are maybe uncomfortable when they graduate. Even if they understand what they want to do clinically, to communicate with the patient, the monetary sort of side of dentistry, I think there's a big learning curve there for sure. So I think Melbourne Uni, for example, they have like their Melbourne Dental Clinic now, which should kind of try and add that component in a little bit. But I think that's one area where we could definitely learn a bit more from, as the financial side of it, discussing and case presentation. Clinically, I think obviously it's tough. I think prosthodontics would be nice to get more experience with, like crown and bridge and things like that. But obviously it just depends on the patient supply and your luck of the draw.
Yeah.
That's the main one. Second, I think obviously from the business side of things, always it's well known that you don't get enough like entrepreneurial business kind of training, especially if you're going to be a practice owner and things like that. So I think at least some sort of introduction to that side of dentistry would be useful, or like tax planning or financial planning, even as like a seminar to do like a one-off thing, just to get some, open some concepts for a lot of people who maybe have no idea what that kind of stuff entails when they graduate. And I think that's probably the main two. I think the case presentation and treatment planning side of things is big.
Cool. Okay. I think that in the 25 years since I've graduated, I reckon it's exactly the same. Yeah. When I graduated, even though we were doing different clinical procedures back in the 90s, we were still doing a lot of amalgam back then, but still the communication skills, the ability to have a conversation around fees and money, it would have been nice even when I graduated to be able to do that. So given that you're a recent graduate, given that we've just spoken about what you wish you'd learned at uni that wasn't taught. And given that we've also had a bit of a conversation around the challenges that young dentists face, do you have some advice specifically around recent graduates for them to guide them on their way? We've spoken about not focusing on the money so much, but what other things have helped you in your career to help you do as well as you have done, which is obviously you've gotten off to a very good start in your career. And I'm curious to understand what are the things that you think have worked well for you, as well as any other little missteps you might have made along the way so others can learn. Because in my experience, I learn more from my mistakes than I do from my wins. So I'd love to hear about yours.
That's a great question. So there's a few things. I think number one is mentorship. Definitely the biggest thing that I can recommend to dentists is trying to connect with someone, and not necessarily someone who's been off for like 20 years and is an expert in the field. Even someone who graduated maybe 3 or 4 years ahead of you, who's kind of had a little bit more experience and you're a little bit more comfortable having like informal discussions or just grab a drink and talk some dentistry. I think that's huge. And social media is playing a massive role in that right now. So I think Facebook, maybe I feel personally, is a little bit more toxic in terms of there's a lot of backlash. People post cases instead of, constructive feedback. There's a lot of like hatred. I don't know why, but Instagram seems to be a bit more friendly. I think Instagram is a way to go. So if you're on Instagram as a young dentist, don't be shy to, post your cases or reach out to some of the older dentists doing great work. Specifically in Australia, there's like 3 or 4 amazing young dentists that I connect with on a daily basis. Like I mentioned, Dr. Varun Garg, Brad Agrawal, Johan Choi, David Attia. Like these guys are just like unbelievably talented for their being out for 4 or 5 years. And I rely on them like almost weekly. I'll send them a picture and a radiograph, and I'm like, what would you do here? What should I do here?
Yeah.
So that really accelerates your learning. I think that's number one is mentorship. In terms of advice, job-wise, I think try and value being busy over location is probably the best advice. Mm-hmm. When I moved back to Canada, I wanted like the flashy office in the city. I mean, I got that job, but I was seeing like 2-3 patients a day. So even though I was dressed nice and wearing a shirt and tie and nice shoes, rural a little bit, or maybe you're not doing like high-end dentistry, but you're doing work, you're getting experience. So I think that's my main advice is kind of give yourself a bit of a hard time and kind of drive if you have to, or move if you have to find the area where you can kind of be busy and have that like less stress to be perfect maybe from the get-go. So I think that's the main two, find mentorship and find a place where you can be busy and get experience is the way to go. In terms of CPD, I think the main advice that I've learned from my podcast and interviewing a lot of people is try and find some sort of structured learning. If you just do a one-off course here and there, it's hard to kind of tie things together. So if you can find something that's a bit more structured, and that's what we're hoping to hopefully long-term create with the Newbie Dentist Study Club, is kind of take people through the journey of like A to Z and teach them like comprehensively how to do certain things. So if you can find that structured learning, even online, which is a great way of learning nowadays, that's the way to go. And in terms of mistakes, I think I mentioned that earlier, it's just the don't chase money because that can get you in trouble pretty quick.
Yeah, cool. That's some wonderful advice there. So ladies and gents, if you've just tuned in, I'd really encourage you, particularly if you're a young dentist, but even if you're an older dentist, there's some pearls of wisdom there that I think are really, really valid. Structured learning, not chasing the dollar, making sure you're busy, all those sorts of things, I think are really sound advice for anyone in dentistry, but particularly for those who are younger in chronology and at the earlier part of their career. I want to ask you another question. This is kind of a bit of a question that I don't know how to ask the question, so I'm just going to ask it directly. As a practice owner, sometimes I wonder what goes on in the mind of my associate, in all honesty. And our associate is a lovely person. She's tremendous. And we've had various associates over the years who are all lovely and all tremendous people, great clinicians. What is it, do you think, that associate dentists wish owners knew or listened to or understood or whatever it is? What is it, do you think, from the associate's perspective that would be really helpful if the owners understood?
Well, that's a great question. I think understanding the motivation of the associate is pretty important. I mean, if the associate just wants to kind of clock in and clock out and just do work, and that's why they're an associate instead of a practice owner, maybe just kind of letting them be and doing their own thing is one. But if you have an associate where you think they're pretty hungry and they're pretty ambitious and they want to kind of grow, like providing that mentorship might be more valuable to them than maybe being busy, for example. So I think understanding the motivation of the associate is pretty important. Why they're working there, why they're an associate versus a practice owner, like what other things are they kind of considering? Is it money or attention or mentorship? Yeah, in terms of clinically and things, it's hard because I'm an associate now. So I think from an associate, maybe you're not as considerate of like overhead, for example. So you might be a bit more wasteful with materials and like gloves and masks and things like that. So I can understand why the principal might be a bit stressed out about that side of it. But I think overall, I try and be in discussion with my principal a lot. I try and be a bit annoying, if anything, because I'm always trying to ask and learn. And now that I've worked in so many different offices over in Canada and here, I really specifically try and find jobs where I can have that mentorship, because I think that's, like I mentioned earlier, is the way to go.
Yeah.
So I'm upfront about it. When I go for job interviews, I'm like, I'm going to be bugging you. I'm going to be asking for advice. I'm not just here to work and go home. So maybe it's cost me a few jobs, but I think it landed me in the places that I am now.
I actually think that's a really good quality. And I think it actually holds you in very good stead. And one of the things, because you know, I have lots of conversations with owners, and there's lots of conversations about, from the owner's perspective, what we wish the associate would understand. But I think it's also really important, as you've just indicated, to understand what the associate is motivated and driven by, because then we can understand one another. And ultimately, I actually think everyone wants the same thing. It's about how do we understand each other's perspective and create a way get there. So I think what you've shared there is really, really important, especially for the owners listening. I'd really encourage you to engage with your associates. And if they're not bugging you, maybe you bug them a bit and just find out what's going on in their life and getting to know them a bit better.
Yeah. Can I ask, sorry, just to cut you off for a second, if you don't mind. I just had a quick question that pop in. I'll ask you, if you don't mind, I'll put up my podcasting hat for a second.
Go for it, mate.
In terms of an associate dentist, what's your advice for interacting with staff? Because I find, you know, with like nurses and things like that, because you're not their boss, you're kind of working there like they are, you're kind of co-employees. So how do you establish that sort of dynamic of telling them what to do if you're not really their boss, to kind of be pushing them around?
Look, this is a tough one, right? And it's a really good question. And I also need to tell you that as a young dentist, I failed miserably in this area, particularly when I was in the Navy. Because when you're sitting so close with someone all day, every day, in particular, I'm referring to the dental assistant, of course, it's hard not to establish a friendship. It's hard not to develop, not a relationship in a romantic sense at all, but you develop a relationship. But I found if you want to be friends outside of work, it can make it more complicated inside of work when you actually need that staff member to do something that's for the good of the patient or for the good of the practice. And so I guess my learning as a dentist was that if I became overly familiar with someone, it made it harder for me to hold a standard if that standard wasn't being upheld. It was just hard for me. I know that there are some people who are really good at being friends with people and then holding the line at work. But I just think that if you're friends, it's harder. So my advice is be friendly, but not friends.
Okay. That's how it works. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think my problem is I'm like too unfriendly. Like, not that I'm trying to be rude or anything. I find to try and, especially because we're younger as well, but maybe you're younger than nurses or same age, to keep that like professional boundary as well, it's a bit tricky.
It is tricky, and I have to tell you something that remains tricky for a long time, and I don't know that there's a really quick and easy solution to it. For me, I learned that lesson the hard way when I would be out when I was in the Navy on a Thursday night, which was pay Thursday. We'd all go down to the local pub and have a few drinks, and then we'd get to work the next day or the day after, and there'd be discussions about what happened the night before or whatever, and then you know, you're asking for material, and it just, I don't know, it just gets messy.
Yeah,
it's just for sure. Messy. So that's my experience. But anyway, might not be anyone else's. So I wanted to ask you, what's next for Newbie Dentist? What's on the agenda? What's on the horizon?
I'm working on it. I'm trying to figure it out. The podcast has been a lot of fun. It's very time consuming, as you know, I'm sure. And I'm trying to sort of see what direction I want to go with the podcast. One problem is called the Newbie Dentist. So as I kind of grow up a little bit, it might be hard to keep that title for myself. So a bit of a branding issue as well. But I think I wanted to eventually be like independent of me. I think I want it to be like a standalone like entity where like other people can maybe take the reins of the podcast, for example. I mean, I can step aside into more of like an overview position, like trying to run the study club and overlook the podcast and things. But I think it's a learning curve, like anything. I'm just trying to figure it out and trying to balance it out with work. It's tough when we're trying to, as young dentists or as entrepreneurs, to have that side hustle when their main job like pays pretty well. So it's hard to stay hungry after work and putting in the hours to kind of get where you got to get to. But I think as long as the motivation and the intention is pure, and which I think it has been so far, it's just to help out some other new grads to stay out of trouble. I think it can survive and grow. So it's just, I'm just trying to really, I'm not brainstorming and trying to figure out ways to get it to where it needs to get to and see where it goes.
Well, I think from a outsider's perspective, and clearly I don't fit the category of a newbie dentist anymore. I've got way too much gray hair. Too many wrinkles.
I'm getting there too.
Oh, come on, get out of here, mate. I'm looking at you now. This is the thing. For the listeners listening to this podcast, clearly this is an audio program, but I need to tell you, not only does Omen have a great radio voice, he's got a very lovely accent. He's a pretty good looking dude too, so he could get onto TV if he wanted to.
You're too kind, thanks.
He's doing all right. But my point being is, I think it's a really good service for new graduates, because I think when people do come out of dental school, it is a bit like diving into the deep end. The work that I see you guys doing, I think, is really important work, because it bridges that gap from finishing university to feeling, you know, really settled and confident in your abilities, feeling comfortable with communication and all those other things we've spoken about. So I actually think it's a really tremendous service that you're providing. And I really hope you do continue with it, because not only is the podcast fun and entertaining, the courses that you're running are really valuable. So my hope and plea is it continues on. Even if you get to the point where you've got more gray hair than a newbie dentist might have, I think it's still wonderful to do. So thank you, Matt. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a fun journey so far, and it's opening up a lot of doors. You know, just being here sitting with you today is a testament to that. So hopefully we get some continued support, and with the course grows, I'm pretty excited for that, where that's going
to
head.
Yeah. Now, if people want to find out more about the Newbie Dentist, is the best site to head across to newbiedentist.com, or is there another place, Instagram? Where would you direct people to find out more about what you do?
For sure. So I post the podcast and everything on the website, newbiedentist.com. Probably most active on Instagram, so at newbiedentist. The Facebook, we have a Facebook page for the study club. So Newbie Dentist Study Club. So people can, it's a closed group, but obviously you can just request and we'll let you in there. And we're meeting up this year. I was away for a few weeks, so we're a bit of a slow start this year in 2019, but we're meeting up soon to kind of schedule out the courses for the upcoming year. We're hoping to do some photography courses and things like hands-on composite courses for some new grads here. So keep an eye out for that. Definitely it should be fun and pretty informative.
Yeah, again, I think there's some tremendous value in learning how to master composite resin. Taking photographs is, that's a skill that I could certainly work on as well. And I might have to get myself down there for that. I don't know
for
if
sure
I...
For sure, you're always welcome.
I'll be the oldest guy in the room, mate. I'll be like the guy from the Muppets sitting up in the balcony, you know, like the guy with the false teeth and the dentures kind of flapping around. But not really. That's all good.
Yeah.
But Omid, again, I really salute you for the work that you do, mate. And ladies and gents, if especially a recent graduate, I'd strongly encourage you to go and check out the work that Omid and his team are doing at Newbie Dentist. It's incredibly valuable. It's incredibly thought-provoking. And I would encourage you, everyone, to go and check out newbiedentist.com as well as at newbiedentist on Instagram, and check it all out, because there's heaps of good stuff there. And I'd love to support you in that endeavor, Omid, because I think it's really important work. So thanks, mate.
Thanks, Jesse. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on your podcast.
Good fun. Let's do it again.
For sure.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.